Common sense, the bottom line.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the October 1st edition of The Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. Our special guest today, Vince Stover of Christian Broadcasting, making his second appearance on our show. Vince comes in to gloat over picking the Milwaukee Brewers to make the playoffs on Labor Day when it looked like they had absolutely no chance. We talk Major League Baseball playoffs, college football, and pro football, and actually make some picks for the coming week with our friend Vince Stover. So if you're a fan of Major League Baseball and football, this is the show for you. Enjoy!
With us today, a man who's here to do nothing other than gloat. He is the pastor at Bible Pathway Baptist Church, making his second of probably many return appearances on this show now, especially now that he's gloating over correctly predicting the Milwaukee Brewers, who at the time of our last podcast had a 13% chance of making the playoffs. He sat here at this same microphone and said, "You're crazy, they're making the playoffs." Lo and behold, the Milwaukee Brewers are in the playoffs. He's our good friend, Vince Stover. Vince, thank you so much for joining us here on The Bottom Line, as you said, to gloat over your great call of the Milwaukee Brewers.
Well, thank you, Brad, for letting me come back on and continue to share my just overwhelming knowledge of Brewers baseball.
He's a comedian, ladies and gentlemen. Vince Stover, he'll be here all week. He'll be at Giggles Comedy Club on the 15th. Tip your waiter. When you came in here, it was September the 2nd. The Milwaukee Brewers were 70-67. Kristen Yelich, MVP candidate, injured, now out for the rest of the season. They went 19-6 after that. How did that happen?
The pitchers started to do what they were supposed to do all season long. And that was the biggest difference in September from everything else, was pitching. They finally pitched the way they were supposed to. And when they did, they continued to win, even without Yelich. And they had other guys step up batting as well. And Lorenzo Cain's defense was phenomenal, saved them a few runs. But outside of that, it was just pitching. They finally showed up and did what they were paid to do.
And like you said, I will give you credit, the schedule helped them out quite a bit down the stretch.
A great deal. Yeah, they typically, I think they usually end with St. Louis at least close to the end of their schedule. They played Chicago late, but obviously Chicago was falling apart. Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and Colorado. That's a good way to end the season.
We called you crazy for saying that the Brewers were going to make the playoffs. We are sorry. We like Arthur Fonzarelli, we were wrong. Yes, he had a tough time saying he was wrong. We do too. Great call by you, Vince Stover. Your Brewers are in the playoffs, but now we look forward.
Yes.
We look forward. Wild card day. Always one of my favorite days because they're literally game sevens. I enjoy the wild card, unlike a lot of people in Major League Baseball. Brewers Nationals. Nationals minus 185 as we tape this broadcast. That's a pretty big favorite in Major League Baseball. Max Scherzer, 2.92 ERA against the Brewers Woodruff, 3.62 ERA. How can the Brewers have a chance on the road against Max Scherzer, probably the best pitcher in Major League Baseball?
Well, the key is going to be, obviously, as always, scoring runs. They've got to score. They can get too early on Scherzer, then it changes the whole game. Because the Brewers are already planning on having a pitcher pitch two innings at most, it seems like. And the Nationals desperately need Scherzer to go, six, seven innings at least.
So you're thinking the Brewers are going to throw Anderson out there. Hader is good for two innings at least.
Oh, yeah.
Guerra is in there for a couple. Yes.
Yeah, they've got really no other way to do it. Woodruff is pitching, but he's just come off the injury list not that long ago. And so I think the most he's pitched since he's come back is two innings. And so he'll definitely pitch two innings. They'll bring someone else in after that, follow it up. Hader, if it's a one-run game, Hader might come in earlier than normal. They're going to do whatever it takes to get through this game with the pitching staff. And the only way they could do that is one or two times through the rotation.
Do you like that? The bullpen days when they start the relief pitcher and he'll go two innings and then they'll bring somebody else in to go two or three. Do you like that?
I like it for this setting, but then if they win and they go to the next round, I don't like it because then you've got tired pitchers coming out and you just kind of expect to lose every two games at least.
Well, the Rays did that pretty much all year. I mean, they had one guy who got traded the All-Star break. He had started 30-something games. He was on pace to break the record by a mile, but they traded him right before they could he could break that record. So you're on record. So you're taking the Brewers in this game on the road at Washington. Washington's been a better team this year. better pitching. The bullpen, I'll give that advantage to the Brewers. But otherwise, everything else, it looks like the Nationals might have the better team. And the minus 185 tells me, yes, the Brewers are the public team, too.
Yeah, I think the way I see it is the Brewers have a very slim chance of winning this game. So I think that...
You're jumping ship, then.
Well,
you've lost faith in your beloved Brewers.
As a fan, I'll still be cheering. But my fear would be too many injuries right now for Milwaukee. Braun is hurt. Kane has been limping for the last two months.
Braun deserves to be hurt, but that's another
that's
story.
That's fine. Yelich, of course, is still out, will be out. The bullpen is rested. With their loss in Colorado on Saturday, there was no need to win really on Sunday at the end of the day, and so they were able to keep their guys rested in the bullpen. But I just think the Nationals have been really hot as of late. They don't have a good bullpen, but they've already said, hey, we might pitch Strasburg out of the pen as well. So,
he won't like that.
No, but
Strasburg is not a guy that likes any kind of change whatsoever. He will not like that.
But I think, again, you have to win this game. There's no reason to hold back. And I think it's going to be an uphill battle for the Brewers. And sadly, I don't think they're going to win this game.
So you're taking the Nationals?
Yes.
Wow. I can't believe it. Here's your baseball trend of the day, ladies and gentlemen. Fade the public in the playoffs. When you see a team getting less than 50%. Of the action out in the desert. And I know that's a little strange to you, Ben Stover. When you see a team getting less than 50% out of the desert, what you want to do is you want to fade the public. Since 2005, teams getting less than 50% of the money, 242-212. That's 53%. That's in the playoffs. Now you say, oh, well, that's not much, 53%. You have to also remember, most of the time, those are underdogs. So you're getting a little extra added value, so your return on investment, 14%. There is your money-making procedure right there. We'll take the Brewers getting the plus 175 out in the desert. Good number. One game. Do I trust that Washington bullpen? Doolittle and those guys? No. I like Hader a lot more than I like Doolittle. Give us the Brewers. We will jump on the bandwagon that you have jumped off, Vince Stover. Give us the Brewers plus 175 against the Nationals. You're going to hate yourself when your team loses and I gloat in victory and you're sitting there, I knew it all the time. Why didn't I listen? Typical Vince Stover. The other wild card game, Rays and A's.
Rays and A's. This one's going to be boring.
Yes.
Very
baseball's
boring.
Are you telling me baseball's boring?
I love playoff baseball.
It's a much different breed,
I think outside of playoff hockey, it's the best playoffs that there is. I love playoff baseball. The Rays and the A's have both really allowed the fewest home runs in the league this year. And this is a league that's been booming in home runs. Now, I don't know enough about the Rays. Probably I didn't think they were going to make it. I thought the Indians would surpass them. But nonetheless, they're there. They've got a decent pitching staff. They have a very weak offense. The A's are just hot and cold when it comes to offense as well. They might pitch Homer Bailey.
Who? Never heard
right.
of it.
But both the Rays and the A's, they've allowed the fewest home runs in the league. And so this game is going to be probably not that great to watch, more than likely.
If you're a fan of baseball, it's a great game to watch.
Yeah.
I think if you like baseball, the A's and the Rays, they play the way the game is played today. Moneyball. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, the Rays are going to start, you know, bullpen will be warming up as soon as this game starts, and it'll be a conveyor belt almost. Sean Manaea for the A's. This line started 150, already down to 140. That means the public is on the Rays as an underdog out in Oakland. Sean Manaea only have 5 starts this year, but 1.21 ERA. Old, reliable Charlie Morton for the Rays, who's been around forever. 3.05 for the Rays. You got a pick for me in this game, Vince Stover.
I think I'm going to pick the Rays. This is hard for me because the A's, I knew they were going to make the playoffs, but it was again because of their schedule. They had a weak schedule also ending out the season, and the Rays seem to be playing very well. I don't trust the A's pitchers at the end of the day, and so yeah, I would go with the Rays in this one.
You're falling right into my trap. You know that, right? FTP. Fade the public. That line has already gone from 150 to 140. Give us the A's and Sean Manaea as a small favorite, but the public all over the Rays. Give us the A's in this game. So we're going Riverside on both these games, Vince Stover. I'm taking Milwaukee and Oakland. You're taking Washington, going against your beloved Milwaukee, in Tampa. How How you like them apples, ladies and gentlemen? That's called fading the public. Let's look at the other series that are already decided. St. Louis, Atlanta, one very near and dear to my heart. Your thoughts on this one as the Cardinals eked out a division win over your beloved Brewers, Vince Dover.
So I'll need to start by letting you know where my bias is on this.
Oh, Lord.
I cannot stand St. Louis.
Why not?
Well, I'm a Brewers fan. And it's hard to like
in our
St.
world,
Louis.
A winner's a winner. It doesn't matter what hat you wear, what uniform you wear. A winner's a winner, Vince Dover. You got to get into this world now.
I view St. Louis a lot like the Patriots in football. I've seen them too much in the last number of years. I'm tired of them. And even though they haven't won, they haven't won super recently, I guess.
2011 is the last time they won the World Series. Yes.
But their rotation is hot right now. They're pitching as good as anybody, it seems, right now. Atlanta, they have won close games all season long. 28 games that they've won by one run, or, well, not less, so by one run. This season, that's the most of anybody in the league. They've played close games. Their bullpen, it's a little shaky. Not a little. It's a lot shaky.
Both teams' bullpens are shaky. But the Braves, I've seen this before. When they made these trades at midseason, they got Melanson. Yeah, I have no faith in the Braves' bullpen.
I see Atlanta being a team that can be around for the next few years to come. I think they're a fun team overall. They've got some fun young guys on the team to watch and things like that. I have Atlanta as my World Series pick to go to the World Series.
That's right, so you do. I remember that.
I'll be sticking with them in this series as well. But again, it's just getting over that the rotation of St. Louis, and I think to some degree the experience as well. They've still got some guys on the team that have been here and done it before. And Atlanta, they're leaning really on their vet at third base, Donaldson, to help them. But I like Atlanta. I'll stick with them.
I've always said on this show my favorite team of all time is the 1991 Atlanta Braves, not Milwaukee Braves. I'm aging myself. Atlanta Braves. But I think in this situation, I look at the pitching staffs. Better starting rotation? Cardinals. Better bullpen? Cardinals. Yeah, I know I'm going against Acuna. I'm going against Albies. I'm going against a lot of good young Braves players. I'm going to take the Cardinals. A little bit of an upset. Give us the Cards over the Braves. Riverside in your World Series pick. Because let's just face it, I've seen the Braves in the postseason many times. I know how this plays out. I've seen the ending of this movie many times. We'll take the Cards over the Braves just as a flyer pick. Not a Mac Daddy Stogie, where you can put your life savings on it. American League, Yankees, Twins. Give us your thoughts on that, Vince Dover.
I'm happy for the Twins.
Why?
What do you have to cheer for in Minnesota? There's not a whole lot there.
Snow.
It's cold. It's miserable. So congratulations, Minnesota. I think the Yankees will have no issues with Minnesota in this series.
Agreed. I think I would have to take the Yankees over the Twins in this one. Pitching staff, who's going to start for the Yankees in these games? All these games are going to be bullpen games, but the Yankees have a very good bullpen, as we all know. Yeah, you got to take the Yankees over the Twins here. How about your World Series? Now, you gave it away a little bit. You said the Braves are your pick. Are you sticking with Braves and Astros?
Definitely. Yeah, Astros are looking really solid right now. And I think the Yankees-Astros will play in the AL, and it'll be a great series. But I still have Houston winning it all over Atlanta.
Here's a stat for you, Vince Dover. We're prepared on this show, unlike any other show in this market. Since 2000, only 5 of the 19 betting favorites heading into the Major League Baseball playoffs have actually won the World Series. That's not very good. This year's favorite, the Houston Astros. We'll mark them out. Give us... Here's a pick for you, ladies and gentlemen. This is a pick that no one in this market or any market is going to take. We're going to take the Cardinals to win the World Series over the New York Yankees in a battle for the ages. Cardinals over Yankees to win the World Series. And Vince Stover sitting here looking at me like I'm crazy. And here's your upset pick. I don't care who wins, Washington, Milwaukee, we'll take them to beat the Dodgers. You talk about bullpens that are in flux. Kenley Jansen, not what he used to be. Everybody's setting up Kenley Jansen, not what they used to be. You've got Kershaw, Ryu, and Buehler. Yeah, they're great for starting pitchers, but are they going to get past 6 innings and turn it over to that bullpen like in the regular season? I've seen that with the 90s Braves. It doesn't always add up to postseason wins. Give us the winner of the wild card game, National League. We said Brewers. But whoever wins it, they will defeat the Dodgers in the division series. Now, how do you like that, Vince Stover?
I like it, but I don't agree with you. I think the Dodgers, I agree with you about the pitching, but last year they made a major mistake. They sat down some of their best hitters just because they were playing the matchup or whatever it may be. They're not going to do that this year. Bellinger's not going to sit three games in a series. Muncy's not going to sit two games in a series like he did last year. I think the Dodgers, I don't see them going to the World Series. I think they're definitely beatable, but the Nationals have the same bullpen issues that the Dodgers have. They have three starters like the Dodgers have. I don't see them beating them. The Brewers, I think they're too beat up all around, so I don't see it happening.
Understood, but I will say right now, National League, I would take any of these five teams, literally. Mm-hmm. National League is, for my money, it's a toss-up. American League, it's Yankees or Astros, I would assume. But in the National League, anybody can win, and I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if the wild card winner goes all the way through. The bullpen for the Dodgers, the big favorite, that's what we're looking at as a fade against the Dodgers. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. We'll say Cardinals over Yankees in the World Series. And Vince Stover says Astros over Braves. You can take those bad boys to the desert and smoke them. Other baseball, did you catch the Reds last week? Marty Brenneman last show. Did you have any sweet memories? I know you didn't grow up around here, but I mean, did you have any, did you shed a tear for the great Marty Brenneman?
I really enjoyed listening to the goodbye. I listened to pretty much all of it after the game, a lot of the game, and most of it after the game as well. Enjoyed hearing other announcers that got on and talked about him. Enjoyed hearing friends, his son, all that kind of stuff. I thought it was great, and I'm happy. I'm always happy when someone can retire when they still have a life to live afterwards. And so I thought it was phenomenal to listen to. It was great.
I love the genre of sports talk radio. I always have, ever since I can remember. My youth, I didn't get to see my dad a lot when I was a kid, but the things I remember, we listened to Reds game. And the first thing I can remember is 1977 Reds baseball, right after the World Series. I don't remember those, but I remember 1977. Reds games on the radio were events back then. They were a big deal because you only got 20, 25 games a year on television. It's not like now when you just flip on Fox Sports and they're on every night. They were events on the radio back then. And I heard George Foster had 52 home runs. And I just thought it was the greatest thing ever. That's when I fell in love with sports. But radio baseball was a huge event back then. And people, you know, scheduled themselves around radio. Life has changed. Sports, you know, local radio in itself is a dying industry. That's another story for another topic for another day. But I mean, you know, I don't think you see things like that anymore. You don't see these venerable, like Bob Uecker at the Brewers. You don't see the Vin Scullys of the world. You don't see these guys anymore that'll stay there 30, 40 years and grow up with several generations. And then you can see these people get so emotional when they retire.
Well, I think a lot of this too is, I think it's a dying art to call a baseball game on the radio. We have the younger generation, but even still some older guys, and I don't think they realize how important it is to help us visualize what they're seeing. My kids, we were in the car just the other day, and my son said, I don't like listening to it on the radio. We're doing a football game. And he said, because I like to see it so I can see what's happening. I can't even imagine it, listening to this guy on the radio. And I thought, well, that's really sad, because I remember I grew up listening to minor league baseball in Nashville, and I loved it. But it's just changing the way the games are called. It's all different now. And I think I think people who are calling games on the radio need to go back and listen to old games and hear how it's supposed to be done and really make it great again. I don't know if we're allowed to say that.
Hey, we're not a political show. We're not like another show in this market that's all about politics. And they disguise it as sports. That's neither here nor there. Let's talk about the Reds on the field. Aquino in August, 320 batting average, 14 home runs. In September, 196 batting average, 5 home runs, same number of at-bats. Fraud or real thing for Mr. Aquino?
Well, as I said the last time, I set the over-under at 28 for next season.
But yeah, 19 this year in 2 months.
Right. But the more I thought about that, the more I regretted saying it. But nonetheless,
he might hit 230, but he might hit 40. You know?
Yeah. No, I don't know. Again, the Reds right now need to put seats in the seats, and I think he's a guy that can help do that. The
butts
energy
in the
coming
seats.
Into it. Yes, that's correct.
Butts in the seats.
Butts in seats. It's the same thing. But yes, butts in the seats. And in order to do that, they're going to need these guys to play well early on next season. I think it'd be good if he can come out and raking like he did this season. But I don't have confidence in it yet. You got to see a longer, more of it first.
Free agency. They'll lose Alex Wood, who didn't give them much at all. Jose Iglesias, the shortstop, not the pitcher, who people thought was the second coming of Dave Concepcion. Not really. And Freddie Galvis is the team option. That's all they really lose. How big a player do you think they need to be in free agency next year? Or are they just going to try to build from the ground up, which they've seemingly done for the last 6 years?
Well, I think now's the time for them to get aggressive in free agency. They've got
they did it this past year. They traded for Puig. They went out and got Tanner Roark, Alex Wood. They got some guys this year. Didn't work out because they couldn't hit the ball.
Right. And baseball is different than all the other sports, at least how the front offices think. But to me, they've got enough young talent already, and it just makes sense. Take another swing at it. Pittsburgh's horrible. The Cubs, who knows what's going to happen to them next year. The Brewers, again, I don't see them fixing their pitching problems, sadly.
And you know who they lose?
Who the Brewers lose?
Yeah.
No.
When will Braun leave? Anyway,
One more year of Braun, and then he's gone. They've got most of their guys locked up for the next 3 years, their core pieces at least. But at the end of the day, I think the Reds, now's the time. I don't understand why baseball teams, it's worked for some. Houston, it worked for. But Cincinnati's been bad long enough. It's time to bite the bullet. Do something to get some quality veterans around your young guys and go for it.
Any postseason awards you're interested in looking at?
I think they're
Major League Baseball?
Not really. I think they're all kind of pretty well set this year.
National League MVP?
Bellinger.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think had Yelich not got hurt, there was a chance.
I think there was more than just a chance.
Yeah.
I think he had it, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. With the rookies, they're locked up, I think. Alonso.
Yes.
He's got that one pretty well wrapped up there as well. Cy Young, and I think DeGrom's got it in the National League. I think Cole has it in the American League, although Verlander might get it. But I think Cole win that one there. So this year, I don't think there's a whole lot of intrigue necessarily in what's out there.
If you were running the Reds, what would you do with Joey Votto? Bad year for him. Let's just face it. His worst year.
Yeah. The way baseball works, I don't see why they keep him. There's no reason to. He's not contributing enough anymore. I'm all for being nice to the veterans who've given to you, and I think he's fit well in the community and all those kinds of things. But to me, it doesn't make sense to keep somebody who's not contributing anymore. Even Braun, as much as I don't like him, he's contributed. Even though he's been hurt and missed games, what he has played, he's contributed. And I think that in baseball, it seems like you've got to have guys that contribute. If they don't, you've got to get rid of them.
Talk about guys Marty Brenneman didn't like. He hated Joey Votto. There's not one announcer in the Reds' entire crew that likes Joey Votto, because they've all railed on him. I got all kinds of sound bites that I've played on this show before. Neither here nor there. I love Joey Votto. I think he's one of the most underrated players this century in baseball. I just think right now he would be great in the American League as a number two hitter, as a DH. I said years ago, if you put him in Boston with that little green monster out and left, and he always hits the left center the way he does, first ballot Hall of Famer, and nobody would argue. Right now, people are going to argue because although he's one of the top 15 on base percentage guys in the history of the game, you're not going to get appreciated because, he didn't win in Cincinnati. Well, you know what? Babe Ruth probably couldn't have won in Cincinnati with some of these teams the last few years. So you sit there and say, he didn't win. Well, it's a nine-man game out there, not one. Now, unlike basketball, you get one guy, you look at him. Can't do that with baseball. Joey Votto, I hope they trade him, because he deserves to have a twilight of his career where he gets to go and get some attention and get appreciated, because believe me, people in Cincinnati do not appreciate him. And yes, this past year, $25 million and what he gave them, he doesn't deserve it, but I think a change of scenery would do him a lot of good. Joey Votto, one of my favorites. I just hate that he's been treated the way he has by the fans and especially the media in Cincinnati. So let's bottom line baseball from Vince Stover. Vince, you're gloating that you called that your Brewers made the playoffs when I gave you a 13% chance here on Labor Day. Congratulations. Not really.
Thank you.
You think that your Brewers are going to lose to the Nationals in the wild card game.
Yes.
You'll take Tampa over Oakland in the wild card game in American League.
Yep.
We disagree on both of those. You've got Houston over Atlanta in the World Series.
Yep.
We have cards over Yankees. And you've changed your mind on Aquino for the Reds. You're thinking 53 home runs next year and a .204 batting average.
I'll put it up to 33.
33?
Over under 33.
What did you say last time?
28 before.
No, 33. That's not a big...
I'll give him a couple more.
He had 19 in 2 months. There you go. Major League Baseball preview from our friend Vince Stover.
If I could trade him, I would trade him yesterday. Hell, I can lose 94 games without you just as easily as I could lose 94 games with you. I don't care about the OPS. I don't care about none of that. This club made a bad deal when they signed Joey Votto to a 10-year contract, and he's going to make $22 million this year, and either next year or the following year is going to make $25 million. There is no sanity on God's earth that justifies this being a good contract.
Okay, well, Bryce Harper's probably going to make $30
I don't give a damn about Bryce Harper. You're talking about Washington, D.C. Why don't you bring up Mike Trout in Los Angeles?
Well, okay,
we're done with this, Scott. We can argue all night long, and you're dead wrong, and you're never going to convince me that this contract is a good contract.
College football, locally, University of Kentucky, 2 wins, 3 losses. Against the spread, 3 wins, 2 losses. So you're making a little bit of a profit if you're betting on the Cats every week. But then again, you might be losing your mind if you bet on the Cats every week. Personally, I said before the season, 6 wins. Now, we look at the quarterback situation. Because what is the desert? What are the experts out in the desert? What do they look at? They look at those recruiting rankings, yes. They look at your schedules. They also look at your coach. They look at your quarterback. Those are the big things that they do. Quarterbacks. Terry Wilson was injured. 2 games against MAC teams. His quarterback rating, 53.3. Sawyer Smith, 3 games against SEC teams. Oh, he's played lousy. Oh, he's injured. Oh, his quarterback rating, 56.2. So Sawyer Smith, statistically, has been a better quarterback than Terry Wilson. Although people see the Florida game, they see the Mississippi State game, they see the South Carolina, this guy stinks. He's injured. Yeah, he is injured. But he's still statistically has been better than Terry Wilson. Your diagnosis of what Kentucky is doing right now football-wise, bye week 2 and 3, your thoughts on their future for the coming 7 games.
It doesn't look good.
Doesn't look good.
So Smith, has he been better statistically? Yes, but that he's not been good, needless to say.
Terry Wilson wasn't very good either, yes.
No, but I don't think that Sawyer Smith is the kind of guy that the fans are excited about anymore. At the beginning, sure, a little bit, because he's the backup and everybody loves the backup. Well, now he's not the backup anymore, and everybody's trying to figure out who's the next backup.
Do you think they would have won any of these 3 games in a row that they've lost had Terry Wilson been the quarterback instead of Sawyer Smith?
I think South Carolina, maybe.
Really?
Maybe. But I think it just changes. It changes, I think, the coach's mindset, having Terry Wilson in as opposed to Smith. So, it's hard to say. But, I would say they had a shot with South Carolina.
You look at the games Terry Wilson played on the road last year. Texas A&M, which they were close to winning, but it wasn't because of him. The game at Tennessee, he was terrible both of those games. These road games that they played in conference, Terry Wilson has not been a very good quarterback. Sawyer Smith, obviously, has not been a great quarterback himself. Take the injury aspect of it out. But still, I don't think you've lost a whole lot at quarterback based purely on the numbers. Now, the eye test, which we hate on this show, the eye test will tell you, hey, Terry Wilson is obviously better because he could actually throw it. Well, then why didn't he do better this year against 2 MAC teams at home when you've got Sawyer Smith playing 3 SEC games, 2 on the road?
Yeah, I think that Kentucky looked like they really weren't trying. And when
are you really going to the we're not trying card? Do you think that they have given up because their quarterback's out?
They shouldn't have.
No.
But that's the question is, where? I mean, you watch that South Carolina game. No emotion, no hustle. There's nothing there. And I don't understand why at this point in the season that would be the case. You're against SEC opponents, a game that you should be in, and they really weren't. and it begs the question, why not? I don't hate Stoops. I don't think he's a bad coach, but
I think he's a good recruiter.
Yeah.
That's his best. He and Vince Marrow, that's what's got this program turned around. Not his X's and O's skills.
Sure.
But the fact that he's brought in great players.
But I don't think the primary problem is still at this point quarterback. They have
two. Then what is it?
I think it starts from the top down. So I think it's coaching at the end of the day, because everything rises and falls on leadership. And you've got your leaders on that are on defense. I'm not saying they've given up, but it didn't look good.
Do you think the whole Cash Daniel situation where he intentionally tried to injure the player with his ankle, do you think that had an effect on this team?
That's what I was asking, honestly, because I think they did the right thing. Maybe should have done more with him in sitting him out for a little while. But
who's to say what's right there? People are saying, oh, right. he should have missed a game. Oh, he should have been kicked out for the season. Oh, he should have missed a half. Well, who's right? I mean, who if the conference didn't say anything, if the conference didn't suspend him, my thing is, hey, if the league said he's okay by me too. And a lot of people, oh, you've got to suspend him. Okay, I understand that. I'm trying to win games, too.
Yeah.
And that's the mentality. If I'm Stoops,
right.
Hey, I need all my guys out there. If I'm on the road against Mississippi State, I need Cash Daniel playing linebacker, not his backup, because every play is very important in a road SEC game.
Yeah, if you're trying to win college football games, SEC football games, you have to say, what would Nick Saban do? Nick Saban would say, you're out for the first two drives, and then you're back in. At the end of the day, you're getting paid to win games.
My thing is, if the league or the NCAA doesn't suspend him, and he's in uniform, why should I suspend him for a quarter or for a half based on just the social media world, the Twitter world?
Right.
If Twitter is going to tell me I have to suspend him for a quarter, why do I have to do that? It's not them that's going to get fired if I lose too many games. I'm the one who's going to get fired. So right. I'm going to go down with all my guns blazing. That's just me. I know that's a very unpopular opinion. But we're playing football. This
right.
isn't, we're not talking about entrance into heaven. We're talking about football here, sadly.
Right.
But that's another story for another day. So you're on board with the whole Cash Daniel thing meant something.
Definitely, without a doubt. I think that it's...
I disagree, but I mean, I can see the point, but I just don't think it was that big a deal. I think it was much more bigger deal to the Twitter world than it was to the players and coaches.
Yeah, and but that's why I'm saying you watch that South Carolina game and you start to question, okay, if there's a problem, why? Where would it be coming from? And the only thing I can think of at this point that's been, if you can call it controversial, was been the Cash Daniels thing. And so is the team upset about how the coaches handled it? Is the whole, you know, coaches and players upset about how administration told them to handle it? I don't know, but it just seems like there's something missing right now. That's bigger than we just don't have enough talent. Our quarterback's hurt. You know, it's too early in the season to give up, and they've got to come out next week against Arkansas and show that they're still here to compete.
I don't think they have a lot of faith in their quarterback. And I will say this. If Walker Wood is not playing last week, he's never going to play. Because, I mean, this guy obviously can't throw the football. If he's not playing, there's definitely something wrong. And they're going to wheel this Sawyer Smith kid out there. If he can stand, he'll be out there the next game. Whether he can throw it 10 yards or not, he's going to be out there. Because they obviously don't trust anybody else to throw the football on this team. But that's another story. Let's look at the schedule going forward now. Sitting at 2-3. All these games that we thought 3 weeks ago that were maybe Kentucky wins, they're all in play now. Arkansas looked pretty good against Texas A&M over the weekend. Probably should have won that game. Now you look at teams like Missouri. They've caught fire ever since that opening loss to Wyoming. They've been playing great since then. Tennessee, are they now trying to get things right? They've only won one game. We're going to find out about Tennessee, and I got a couple of words on them coming up in just a minute. Now these games are in play. The road game at Vandy, the home game against Louisville. All these games now are not, well, I'll give you that game. Oh, I'll give you this game. No, not with this quarterback situation. I can't give you any game other than the Tennessee-Martin game.
Yeah, I think that, well, the Vanderbilt's horrible. They're as bad as Kentucky, if not worse.
But that is a road game.
It is.
And they have,
that's
and,
true.
And that's
SEC road games.
SEC road game. Yeah. You can bring up all those cliches you want.
Yeah.
Hey, that is a road game in the SEC, even if it is Vandy.
Yeah, that's true. Missouri, as we said on the last time we were together, they were going to get better. That first opening week loss
called that one,
looked
yes.
bad, but you know, it all comes back to quarterback, and Missouri has a quarterback. Tennessee, do they have a quarterback? They're going to try to find out this week, and they're trying to find out against Georgia, which is a bad week to try to find out, but they're probably starting a new quarterback this week. Then, again, Vanderbilt, they don't have a quarterback that's worth writing home about. And so, I mean, Kentucky still has – they have such a weak schedule to end the season, but they're playing so bad right now. Six wins is going to be tough for sure.
We called six before the season started. We were the only person on this show who said six. Everybody else said at least seven. I heard quite a few eights. I think was it Jeff Drummond said nine? Somebody said – I think somebody might have said nine. I heard the word nine. If we had our nemesis Mark Story on this show, he would have said 14 out of 12. So let's bottom line this, Vince Stover. You've got the schedule right in front of you. Kentucky at 2-3 now. How many wins for Kentucky on the season going forward?
So I said seven the last time we were on. Six right now looks awfully hard to get. Five looks reasonable. And so I would say six. I think they're still going to make a bowl game or be bowl eligible. But and that's with Louisville, UT Martin, Vanderbilt, and Tennessee. Those are the games that I'm looking at. Arkansas, if they can win it, sure. They're at home for that one, so that helps. Of course, they're not going to beat Georgia, and I don't think they're going to beat Missouri. So that leaves them very little wiggle room left for that. So I'll go with 6. 4 more wins.
We're going to stick with 6, and people are really down on this team right now, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the quarterback situation to me, is the same almost. Now, you have an injured quarterback, but, I mean, production-wise, let's throw out that game in South Carolina because, well, road games in the SEC, Kentucky quarterbacks the last few years, they all seem to struggle. Like we said, look at Terry Wilson's road SEC games last year. I just think statistically, you're getting the same production at quarterback than you were with Terry Wilson. So it's still a 6-win team in my mind. I think you'll get Arkansas. I don't think that's a huge blowout. Then you're going to get on a losing streak again. Georgia, there's no chance there. Don't even talk to me about that. You're going to lose at home to Missouri. Compare the quarterbacks in that game. Now, that's a no contest. The Tennessee game right now, if you look at that one, and I know you're a big Tennessee fan, Vince Dover. Do you think Tennessee could come in here and win that game in their current state, 1-3, and playing Georgia this week?
In their current state, no.
No?
No. But
they still got about a month.
Right. They're changing. It sounds like they're changing quarterbacks. They're not going to announce their starter until game time. But it sounds like they're beginning to make that transition. So then the question is, well, and they don't know who they're – we've got – I say we. There we go. Tennessee has 2 young quarterbacks that they supposedly love. But one's an athlete and one's more of a thrower.
Oh, let me guess. The athlete is a black kid and the thrower's a white kid.
Nope, they're all white.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that. It's just when you use those codes in football – the athletic dual threat quarterback is the black kid, and the pro-style throwing quarterback is the white kid. I made that assumption. It's just how we've been taught from hundreds of years when we watch football. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, Tennessee, I don't have any confidence in them at this point. The defense.
If I get Tennessee against Georgia this week, how many points would you need to take Tennessee?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would say 35.
35?
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. Las Vegas right now says 25.5. I'll take the Vols at 25.5 this week. There you go. There's a Mac Daddy Stogie for you. Give me the Vols, 25.5 point dogs at home against Georgia. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Here's a stat for you. Fade ranked teams after a top 10 win. That's what Georgia did a couple of weeks ago. That hits 56% over the years. 2-0 this year. We'll take Tennessee getting a few too many points. Are they going to win the game? No.
No way.
But we'll take Tennessee getting way too many points with a trend and with some numbers. We'll take Tennessee 25.5. We'll take Tennessee this week. There you go, Vince Dover. I'm taking all your teams on this show, and you have no faith in them.
That's running. Yeah.
Fade the public. Fade the Vince Dover. That's a new.
That's right.
That's a new kind. It's a new theme to the show. So you're going to say how many wins for Kentucky going forward?
6.
You're going to say 6.
6 total.
Plenty of room on the bandwagon. It's okay. You're welcome. Everybody's welcome. Come on. We said 6. Then we had nobody on the bandwagon before, but it's starting to pile up a little bit. So we got a good seat, so don't worry about that. College football playoff. Give us the 4 teams you gave us before the year started.
All right, so before the year started, I had Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, and Ohio State.
That's the 4 you had?
Yes.
Well, I hate you now. We had Michigan instead of Ohio State. Yeah. Right now, if you said the 4 teams that will make the playoff, we would agree with those 4. We'll take Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, and Ohio State to make it, but that's as of today. LSU, Georgia, Auburn. All those teams right there. But you have to look at it like these teams are going to lose.
Right.
And they're going to lose multiple games in some cases. So you can't sit there and say, oh, well, these teams are better, so they should get in. No. And like we said before, once you lose 2 games, the history of this playoff tells you you're out no matter who you are. So some of these teams are going to lose, but all these teams, in my mind, they're all better than Ohio State and Oklahoma. So are you going to stick with those 4 going forward, or would you like to change one? We'll give you a chance to change your mind here, Vince Dover.
This is really hard for a couple of reasons. I'll tell you why. Number 1, the SEC. LSU is playing way better than I thought they ever would.
Yes.
They're playing well, but Auburn's not going to be in there in the end. But LSU's playing great. Georgia, I thought they were still going to do well, obviously, win their conference or their division, but I thought they'd lose to Alabama and eventually get left out of the Final 4. My dad told me today, he said, guaranteed LSU, Georgia in the SEC championship, LSU will beat Alabama. I don't believe that. So I've got Alabama and Clemson still. I've got Oklahoma still. Then the other one that makes it hard is I love what Wisconsin's doing right now.
Oh!
Love what Wisconsin's really? Doing right now. But I still think Ohio State beats them, and so I stick with my four.
Oh, I thought you were changing on me. Oh, Wisconsin goes to Ohio State in October. That's going to be your Big Ten championship game. Unless, and we talked about this before, if you're a Power 5 conference team and you have less than two losses, you're not eliminated from this thing yet. Michigan's not out of this thing yet. Utah's not out of this thing yet. They sweep the rest of the regular season, win the conference championship game, sitting there at 12-1, Power 5 conference winner, they're in. I'm sorry, because 16 teams have done that. 16 teams have gotten in.
Yes, but Power 5 conferences, the other four conferences, I think are only going to have one or less losses also, and Utah's going to get left out, even with one loss, because of that.
Or it could be Oregon, or it could be whoever from the Pac-12.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who it is, but these teams eliminate themselves. I mean, right. We're just now entering October. So it's not like, you know, all these are said and done. So you're going to stick with your original four?
Yes.
Well, I had to jump on the Ohio State bandwagon in for Michigan. That's as of today.
Right.
That's all this would change as of next week, because these SEC teams, I don't understand how only one of these teams are going to get in, because like your dad was saying, LSU has looked great. Georgia is going to be there. Auburn is right there. LSU plays Alabama in a few weeks. Georgia plays Auburn in a few weeks. There's your Sweet 16 round game going into the SEC Championship game, which is your Elite Eight game, leading into the Final Four playoff. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Vince Stover and I agree for once on something. Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Ohio State, your playoff matchups as of now. We have the right to change these as time goes on. Heisman, who's your Heisman winner, Vince?
I like Wisconsin running back Jonathan Taylor.
Really?
Yes. Fields is still playing well, and he's been playing very good. Hurts has been playing great as well.
Don't you have to punish those Oklahoma quarterbacks eventually, though?
Yes. Yes.
Can't you just stop giving it to an Oklahoma quarterback?
Yes, you have to.
All right.
Nobody else wants to watch anymore. And the Heisman commercials are getting boring because it's all Oklahoma guys. So let's change it a little bit. Again, Wisconsin and the way they're playing right now, and it's all or mostly dependent on him running the football. And that's when growing up, that's what I remember Heisman Trophy winners being. It has transitioned more to quarterbacks, but I love what he's doing. That's where I'm going.
I have to agree with that. I think it's between Hurts and Tua, which is ironic because they were both on the same team last year.
Yep.
But as of right now, if Hurts keeps this up, I don't understand how he could be denied, even though he is the Oklahoma quarterback. When are you going to have backlash for that? We're going to find out this year.
My question would be is, at what point do the voters start going, well, I guess any quarterback that plays for Lincoln Riley is going to do well, so we're not going to give it to him because he's obviously just a system that works for anybody.
The backlash.
And so I think that happens even this year. Although Hurts is a great story as well because he got beat out by Tua, and now here he is and he's playing great. But I think at the end of the day, I think that's where voters are going to go with saying, well, I mean, obviously you can plug and play any athletic quarterback, and Riley will be able to turn him into a Heisman Trophy nominee. So I don't think it's going to be Hurts this year. I like Jonathan Taylor. That's where I think it needs to be.
We know why you're here, ladies and gentlemen. You want some point spread winners. You want some cash in your pocket. You want your 10,000 star Super Galactic Sledgehammer Locks of the Millennium. That's why you're here. Michigan, -4 over Iowa. Two ranked teams. Anytime you have two ranked teams, and the favorite's getting less than 50% of the money, take the favorite. That's 139-94 since 2005, 59.7%, and 3-1 this year. Number 14, Iowa. They've defeated Miami of Ohio, Rutgers, who just fired their coach, and Middle Tennessee. The only good team they played, Iowa State, and they were outgained by 105 yards, and it was a gift win. Fraud alert. Give us Michigan over Iowa. I don't want the points. I don't need these points. We're going to give up the four. Michigan, your Mac Daddy Stogie of the week as a favorite, and that's a rarity on this show. Michigan, -4 over Iowa. Take that one to the desert and smoke it. What do you think about that game, Vince Stover? You were telling me before you kind of liked Iowa. Yeah, how you like them out?
I think Iowa is going to win this game, and I think it's going to be nasty.
You have fallen for the fraud that is Kirk Ferentz.
I have not fallen for the fraud that is Jim Harbaugh. And the way that he is coaching, the way his players are playing, it's just not good. I think Iowa is always undervalued. And I think with this being +4 for Iowa, I take that to the bank.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Disagreements. Do you want common sense and logic and numbers, or do you want whatever the heck he just said? There you go. Auburn and Florida. Auburn a 3-point favorite. I don't like this game in terms of picking a winner, so I'm going to let you have this game, Vince Dover.
I think Florida's overrated at this point. We still need to see a little bit more out of their quarterback, so if I was a betting man, and I'm not, I probably wouldn't bet this game. But being able just to make a pick, I'm going to take Auburn with the points. I think they're going to win on the road.
When in doubt, take a dog. But in this game, I'm like you. That three, it doesn't make me want to take either side. I would pass this game myself. Give me another game, Vince Dover.
I've got Kansas to cover. They got Oklahoma this week. They're at Kansas. 35 points here. I've got Kansas to cover. They will not win. They will not be super competitive, but I've got them to easily cover 35.
One of my favorite games this week, Michigan State getting 20 against Ohio State. Road dogs in September and October, it's a wise guy game. When you see a difference between tickets and money spent on these teams, when there's more than a 10% difference between money and tickets, 137-76, that's 64.3% since 2016, 17-12 this year. And keep in mind, Michigan State has not allowed more than 17 points all season long. And you're going to give us 20 against Ohio State? Yeah, we'll take the Spartans. Give us Sparty plus 20 against Ohio State. Another lock, Vince Dover. Take that. So let's bottom line college football, ladies and gentlemen. Vince Dover has finally jumped on the bottom line bandwagon and says 6 wins for the season. Vince says there's no need to worry about a quarterback situation. They're both terrible. Vince is not changing his expert, using that term loosely, playoff picks from before the season of Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, and Ohio State. We like Michigan minus 4 against Iowa and Michigan State plus 20 against Ohio State. And Vince's locks of the week are
Auburn minus 3, Iowa plus 4.
He's riversiding me on Michigan.
That's right.
On Iowa, Michigan. I can't believe that, ladies and gentlemen.
And Kansas plus 35 against Oklahoma.
And Jonathan Taylor will win the Heisman, according to Vince Dover.
Yes.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Easy money from the bottom line. NFL, there's 3 undefeated teams. New England, Kansas City, San Francisco. So obviously, it's a Patriots and 49ers Super Bowl, right, Vince Dover?
Wouldn't that be fun? Tom Brady, Garoppolo.
No, it would be fun.
No,
yes.
One wants to see that.
Oh, I'd love to see that.
No.
Had to wait a minute to figure that one out?
I don't need to say. I'm okay with San Francisco, I guess, but we're done with New England.
That
needs to be done with.
Your Packers.
Yes.
3-1.
3-1.
Tied with the Chicago Bears, who you've already defeated once this season.
Yep.
On a miracle opening night win. We won't talk about that right now. Packers, going forward, how did they lose to the Eagles last week? We got to focus on the negative. We're all about the negative here, Vince.
Yes. Let's blame Aaron Rodgers, ultimately, even though this one was the poorest defensive game they've played this season, and they got run over, literally, by the Eagles.
I think the Eagles are a really good team.
The Eagles are very good. But you asked for negatives, and so that's where I'm going.
We love the negatives around here, absolutely.
Yeah, now the Packers, their offense is still they did much better in that game, which is a good sight to see. Anytime there's good offenses in the league, it's more fun. Kansas City has been fun. The Rams, not this year, but last year, the Rams were fun. And so I think Aaron Rodgers playing well ultimately is what makes the league fun, especially with all the injured starting quarterbacks that are out there right now. We need these key quarterbacks to be playing well. But it's okay. The Packers lost to Philadelphia. Philadelphia is a good team. Those are the kind of losses at the end of the day you can live with.
So you think the Packers will defeat the Bears in that division?
Oh, yeah. The Bears are horrible. Their offense is horrible. The defense is still very good, but their offense is so bad, with Trubisky being out for a couple weeks. Chase Daniels, you know, he might be as good as Trubisky, but he's not better. The Bears' offense just isn't enough this year to compete, I don't think. Minnesota's offense, wow. Kirk Cousins has been horrible. I didn't see that one coming. And Detroit's been playing better than expected. So it's still a hard division, but I think Green Bay, they need to come out this next week against Dallas and play well. Defense needs to play good again. And if the defense plays good again, then I think all the hope in the world is right there.
Who was your Super Bowl pick on our preseason show?
I had Kansas City versus...
I remember insulting you for Kansas City, and I will keep insulting you.
I think it was Kansas City versus New Orleans.
New Orleans. How's that New Orleans pick holding up?
Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy Bridgewater, going to take you all the way.
I knew that was going to happen.
You knew it. Of course you did.
No, obviously that doesn't make you. Of course, their division is really bad this year. But outside of that, no, I don't think New Orleans has got. Well, all you got to do is make the playoffs and get Breeze back, and that's still definitely a possibility.
Absolutely. We said Patriots-Eagles for the season. I will stick with that. Nothing has changed my mind on the Eagles. They looked great against the Packers the other night. Miami, Washington, Denver, all 0-4. Who wins first?
You know what? I think Miami has a shot to win first.
Miami has a shot.
I think they're the ones who least want to win. But,
you think they're tanking?
Oh, definitely.
Yes.
Definitely. But I think they have a chance to get a win here in the next 2 weeks.
Will any team go winless this season?
I don't think so.
Don't think so?
I don't think so. I think the league, we talk about parity in the league, but I think every team wins at least one.
Vontaze Burfict, suspended for the season. Do you agree?
Yeah. I don't see why. I don't see if a guy is not going to learn that this is wrong and you can't do this. They suspended him for four games at least four times, I believe. That obviously wasn't going to work. So get through the entire season this year. Give him a chance to come back. I'm okay with giving him one more chance, but I think only one more chance. I'm all for. I'd be okay if they said never again, but definitely. I think suspended for the season is necessary. In this day and age where everything is about safety, where they talk about safety at least all the time, you just got to know, I cannot cross that line. And he does it too blatantly.
Case Keenum, Kirk Cousins, separated at birth? Are they the same person?
They very well might be.
I can't get them straight. They're both less than mediocre.
Yeah, I think Case Keenum is a lot better than Kirk Cousins, just looking at the stats.
Kirk Cousins gets more money. That's the only difference.
That's correct. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. He was the favorite twin. That's why he got kept at birth. But no, I think Washington was, they actually got something right when they didn't sign Cousins to a long-term deal. And I think they saw the same thing that you just said. Same people, Kirk Cousins and Keenum. So let's give Keenum a try.
John Elway lost his mind?
He's going to by the end of the season. I think he tried to get too conservative with his coaching hire. Everybody else was trying to go the new great offensive thing, and I think Elway decided, well, I'm going to be that guy that goes old school and go defense and get an older guy. It's not working for him. His defense isn't good. His offense isn't good. And I thought Flacco was going to do better than he's done.
No, he had no chance. He had no chance at Denver.
And I think as soon as Drew Locke's healthy and off the injured
reserve, they don't like him either. Everything I've read, he's looked terrible up there. In the preseason, he didn't look good either. But he can't be any worse.
That's right.
If you're 0-4, why not?
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
Just cut Flacco. Picks this week. We will go with Tampa, 4.5 against New Orleans. Division dog, 60%. First 5 weeks of the season since 2005. And 12-7 this year. There's Tampa, 4.5. Our favorite game this week, Indy, getting 11 against Vince Stover's favorite Kansas City Chiefs. Playoff teams from the previous year as double-digit dogs, 56-32, that's 64%. Colts getting 11, that's a few too many for us. And we'll take the Jets, getting 14 against the Eagles. Road dogs coming off a home loss, 136-70. That's 66% against the spread since 2015. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Three picks for the week. Tampa getting 4.5 at New Orleans. Indy 11 at KC. And the Jets, yes, the lowly Jets, no matter who the quarterback is, getting 14 against the Eagles. Easy money, Vince Stover. What you got?
I like the Steelers. +4 is what I have against the Ravens. At home, division game. I like it. I think the Ravens are the better team ultimately. I just don't see the Steelers continuing to drudge through the season the way that they've done thus far. And I like the Bills. I've got them at +3 on the road, Tennessee. I've said the last time we were on here, I don't have any faith in Tennessee and Buffalo. Now, there's a little bit of question about the quarterback.
No being faith
hurt.
In Tennessee and Buffalo, but yet they've at times looked like world beaters.
That's right.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. So let's bottom line the NFL. Vince Stover says he's sticking with his Kansas City New Orleans Super Bowl pick. We think he's crazy. We'll stick with the Pats Eagles. He still has faith in his beloved Packers to win their division, although the Bears may have something to say about it now that Trubisky's finally out. By the way, Chase Daniel may be a little better option right now than Trubisky. Just saying. Vince Stover says no winless team this year, so Miami, Washington, and Denver fans can rejoice. Vince Stover says Vontaze Burfict can play on his team any day.
No.
Vince Stover says Kirk Cousins and Case Keenum are the same person, even to the alliteration part of it. And we take Tampa, the Colts, and the Jets against the spread this week, while Vince Stover takes Buffalo and Pittsburgh. Take those bad boys to the desert and smoke them. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Vince Stover has finished his victory tour here at the Bottom Line Studios. He has walked in like he owned the place and gloating over his beloved Milwaukee Brewers, going from worst to first, basically, when we laughed at him on Labor Day, when the analytics said 13% chance for the Brewers to make it, and Vince Stover pointed at me and shook his fist at me and said, "You're wrong, Bottom Line. They're going to make the playoffs because I looked at the schedule." Lo and behold, Vince Stover was right, and the Bottom Line was wrong. Vince Stover, any parting words as you gloat to victory on your baseball pick?
I'm just so excited for playoff anything. Playoff baseball is here. That's a wonderful day. I'm excited about it, and outside of that.
You're so excited you picked your beloved Brewers to lose.
That's right.
Unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen. But I like his attitude. You got to be able to pick your team one night and go against them the next and not blink an eye. I enjoy that attitude. You're learning from the best, Vince Stover. I'll give you credit for that. A wise move indeed. Any parting words?
Thank you for letting me be on again, sharing my wealth of knowledge. And we'll come back eventually and point out the other areas I was right in this time.
Wealth of knowledge being a very loose term used on this show, ladies and gentlemen. Vince Stover, we thank you, my friend. We always appreciate your time. We always appreciate your good vibes, and God bless you, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you. Tell us where we can follow you on Twitter, Vince.
Follow me on Twitter at VStove. VStove on Twitter. That's the best place.
Now, is it true that you've put in your Twitter header that you're a contributor to the Bottom Line Lexington podcast?
That's correct.
That's a little presumptuous, don't you think?
It has blown up my follows. I've had one new follower since the last time I was on.
I think I've dropped one follower since the last time you were on. And you can follow us, as always, at Bottom Line Lex. Thanks again for listening, and as always, may the winners be yours.
Listen, good luck. Cash and tickets is what it's all about. So long, everybody.